Small Biz America.
This is Small Biz Spotlight, featuring up-close interviews with small business leaders and entrepreneurs across America. And now, here's your host, David Wolf.
Our guest on this segment knew that he wanted to be his own boss by the time he was 30, but had no interest whatsoever in being just another entrepreneur. Leo Rivera created a franchise model called Bishop's Barbershop that takes the concept of hair care in the whole salon industry and turns it completely around. The mix of street art, edgy music, and unrestricted fashion create a unique atmosphere that Bishop's is now known for. Six locations now open in Portland. Leo is ready to bring Bishop's Barbershop to the rest of the world. Joining us on the line from their headquarters in Portland, Oregon, is the founder and CEO of Bishop's Barbershop, Leo Rivera. Leo, welcome to the program.
Thanks, David. How are you doing?
Doing well, sir. So where did the idea for Bishop's Barbershop begin for you?
Well, I think it was, it started back in probably 1999 when I was getting my hair cut, and my hair was kind of going away at the same time.
So I have no idea what you're talking about.
No men know what I'm talking about. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting in a salon, and, you know, I had to make a two-week appointment, and I'm sitting there, and I'm realizing I'm paying $55 to get six of my hairs cut here, which is kind of ridiculous. And, you know, I had to wait 2 weeks just for this. And so I'm realizing, okay, what would a great concept be if, you know, there's such a hole in the market. I didn't want to go into the mom-pa barbershops that you saw, you know, down the street, or I didn't want to go into the national chains that do five different styles of haircuts and are treated like robots.
Right.
So I went for the latter, to go to a higher-end salon if I wanted some, you know, whatever kind of creativity and what kind of fashion they can give me. But I didn't like paying the price, so I realized, like, there's a gray market here in the hair industry of the national chains and the old-school barbershops and the high-end fashion ones. And so why not fill that hole in that gray market and create kind of a hybrid of the benefits of all three, of still getting the quality and the style from a high-end salon, getting the convenience of a national chain, and paying the prices of a small mom-pa barbershop. And so hence Bishop's came across this idea of creating this place that's more like not just a place where you get your haircut, more of a lifestyle place where you can come in. We give away free beer. You know, we're sponsored by Miller High Life. So you get in, walk in, you got Miller High Life. Sometimes you'll have a DJ playing. You'll have great magazines to read. You know, our stylists aren't shackled by uniforms or wearing all black or all white. We let them show their tattoos. We let them show their piercings. We let the creativity flow and let them do whatever they want to do, as long as they're professional. And as long as the customer wants it. So
yeah,
where Bishop's came from, you know, we just, you know, walk-ins only, great hair, you know, fun atmosphere. Like I said, we're more of a lifestyle now than just a place to get your hair cut.
Right. It's a whole venue, a whole experience for your customer. So we've got the core idea. Now, it's interesting. You've actually combined a liquor license, I'm guessing, with the salon model. Was that a difficult endeavor?
Well, you know, in the state of Oregon, you don't need a liquor license if you give away the beer. So we don't charge for the beer at all. As long as we don't charge for anything, people can come in and have a beer whenever they want, then you don't need a liquor license. I can't speak for other states. All states are different with their liquor laws, but in Oregon, you don't. There was questions at first, because I was the first one to actually do this in the state of Oregon. And so other salons and other businesses were around. Were like, I want the Oregon Liquor Control to check on this, and you know, they checked on it and they realized I wasn't doing anything wrong. Where the beer came from was like, if you can get a free glass of wine at your high end salon, why can't you have a low end beer at Bishop's for our clients?
Yeah,
same lines of that.
Sure, sure. So you have six locations now. Tell us a little bit about your customer, the demographic, and perspective on the business from that standpoint.
Well, it's weird. You know, when we first started, you know, I thought that our market was going to be the 18 to 30-year-old male. As I realized, is that we actually filled a bigger hole in the market than I thought. Right now, we're 18 to 50, 60% men, 40% women, and all kinds of people from all acts of life. I mean, you like I said, you can have the skateboard punk kid that's 18 years old sitting next to the 30-year-old professional man or woman next to the 50-year-old woman getting her hair colored. on any given day. That's happening at Bishop's. So, you know, I think we touch on a lot of factors of people. I mean, price point, convenience, you know, being in a place that's fun, hip, and edgy, you know, hits all those different markets. You know, we bring a lot of youth to the place, but we bring a lot of professionalism. And, you know, a lot of people just don't want to spend $140 on hair anymore. They just don't have to. You know, Bishop's is a great place where you can get the same results for half that price.
Sure.
And
sure.
People are starting to realize that. And, you know, like I said, it attracts a lot of people, a lot of different markets.
We're visiting with Leo Rivera. He's the founder and CEO of Bishop's Barbershop. That website, www.bishopsbarbershop.com. I wanted to drill down into the entrepreneurial piece of all of this. Creating a franchise model, well, first of all, you remove yourself from the business of cutting hair and into the business of putting others in business as business operators under your systems and your format. Tell me a little bit about, first of all, how you and why you decided to use the franchise model, and then beyond that, what the process looked like putting it together for you.
It just seemed like the next logical step for the growth of Bishop's. We won't franchise inside Portland. Our corporate base here in Portland. If we do any more corporate stores, it'll be just in Portland. We looked into doing more corporate stores outside of Portland, but the infrastructure wasn't there for us. We didn't want to grow that way. We wanted to look for franchisees and bring what we did in Portland to different cities by using franchisees that are willing to help grow the brand with multiple units and be involved like we were involved and know the city and get to know their community and work with them. So what we're looking for is we're just looking for people who want to do what we did in Portland, grow multiple unit franchises and have great fun with it and work with the community and just be involved and do exactly what we did here in Portland.
In putting this whole thing together, Leo, has anything completely blown you away or surprised you in terms of something you just didn't expect that you'd have to encounter that might be instructive for entrepreneurs in our audience?
Franchise is that's a whole different monster. It's from running just corporate stores, you know. It's actually just a whole other business. Luckily that we brought on some managers that have about 60 years in franchise experience that, you know, something that I would have invested a lot of time in to get to know what they know. But like I said, it is a whole different monster. There's a lot of legal stuff you didn't know about. You know, you have, before you can franchise, you just really have to have your systems down, have all your programs down, and just, you know, you can't miss a beat on anything. You have to be, your business has to be tight. And, you know, it was great just doing the franchising, but what else happened was it made me realize there, you know, there's some things that we needed to take care of, which we did in our own business, and now, you know, everything's flowing really smooth and it's the way it should be.
Leo, what is your typical week or day look like in terms of overseeing six locations as you do now? I mean, give us a sense of what your bandwidth looks like.
Well, luckily, being in the business for 8 years, I surrounded myself by great managers. And so I have, you know, a lot of great people that are a lot smarter around me helping run the business. You know, each store has their own manager. They have a layers of management system there at each store. And then we have an overall general manager, that overall operation manager that sees everything. And, you know, we have our admin staff, our marketing director, we have all those people in place. So pretty much I just come in and I just kind of oversee and a lot of meetings. You know, it was difficult with one store, you know, more difficult with two, it got easier with three, and all of a sudden it got harder with four and harder with five and harder with six. So it's, you know, multiple personalities that you have to deal with. I mean, every day is a different fire to put out, but it's fun. It's a really simple model, which I really like. If it was any more complex, I don't know if I can handle it, but it's a really simple model, and it works really well. There's not a normal day. You know, I think Thursdays is when we have meetings, and Tuesdays when we have, you know, set meetings, but every day besides that, it's whatever comes across the table we're dealing with.
Are you having fun?
I'm having a blast. I couldn't see myself doing anything else. And
that's, you know, it, the intersection of passion and what you know how to do.
Exactly. You know, just like I said, I work with great people, so that makes it really easy to go into the office every day and going into the stores and,
mm-hmm,
you know, be able to offer the employees what we offer and giving them a great place to work at, you know, and offering them benefits. I mean, we're the only ones in the industry in Oregon that offer benefits to our employees. So that's a great thing. That's really helped out the employees a lot. So
yeah.
It's a certain sense of satisfaction you get when you walk into the store and see your employees actually smiling, and they're not fake smiles. They actually mean it.
Now, give us a sense of how many employees, let's say, per store are you using now? And I want to get a sense of the scope and what business is looking like that way.
We usually have about 13 to 18 employees per store. It depends.
Really?
On the,
wow.
Yeah, depends how busy it is. We have, we're close to about 100 employees strong.
Over the six?
Yeah.
Wow, that's phenomenal. What's the vision for Beyond the Six? I know that, I sense that you have a sort of world domination in mind for Bishop's. Tell us a little bit about what you're thinking 3, 5, 10 years out.
We would like to be, about 3 years from now, we'd like to be in about 5 different markets with the franchises. 5 years, it'd be great to be in about 10 markets. And, who knows in 15? What could happen? I mean, if
sure.
Right now it's tough with the economy. People are scared to spend their cash, and so we're just trying to get into a few markets as we can. And
yeah, sure.
From there,
are you finding that it's easier to sell? Well, I know you're relatively new, but is it easier to sell franchises now that we have a dislocation with the employment in the U.S.?
Is it easy?
In other words, people that are looking to find a business because they've been dislocated out of a corporate job, let's say,
or even
manufacturing.
We've seen more people that you probably wouldn't see before just because of, a lot of people are unemployed and they're looking at this as an opportunity for them to get into something on their own. And, I don't want to put my faith into another employer anymore. I want to control my own. And so we're seeing a lot of people due to that. But like I said, I mean, just the economy, people are hoarding. They're hoarding their cash, and no one's lending. So
right.
It's kind of tough for these people to go out there and take a leap of faith.
Sure. On the customer side, though, I mean, with this kind of price point, is a business like this more or less, I hesitate to say bulletproof, but it's a low ticket item in the relative scheme of things. I'm guessing that the economy isn't affecting the consumer part of your business. Is that a fair assumption?
It actually has affected us before the better. We have seen a growth in business, I mean, just due to a lot of people were cutting back on the high-end salons, and we're starting to get those people in.
So
our price point, you start going lower than our price point, then you're going to start affecting your hair. And so, last thing that people... Two things that the last thing to go in the recession is beauty and booze, and we have both, and we're cheap at beauty and we're free at booze, so it's kind of funny.
Do people drink a lot of beer when they get their hair cut with you?
Not really. Like I said, we
it's a taste.
Probably one beer.
Okay.
Not everybody takes a beer, but that one person that likes to come in after work, get their hair cut, it's been a rough day at work, throw a couple back.
Mm-hmm.
Great conversation. It's a great place for them.
Oh, how cool. Great stuff, Leo. It's really inspiring. Any advice for those who are interested in launching their own franchise? Maybe a misstep you took that you might have rewritten differently if you could for our audience that may be thinking about doing a franchise model?
I was looking to what they did before their franchises. How did they, what did that one, that person who started the company, Where was their place at before they started the company? Where are they at now? And what did this company do for them? And I would just compare apples to apples. I mean, like take our Six Bishops, and how would Six Bishops do in Washington D.C.? How would it do in San Francisco? Just kind of really really study it and look at it, and we're not here to recreate the wheel. We're just here to make it look better and go faster, and that's all we're doing over here. And we've done that, and I just think people just need to do their due diligence and make sure they're a right fit, and make sure that they want to be in business with these people for 15 to 30 years.
How long did it take you to? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step in. How long did it take you to get to 6 stores, Leo?
Seven years.
Oh wow. So just a little bit better than a year for each installation. So you really did take your time with this, didn't you?
It's funny, I thought I did. I thought I did, and some people said I went too fast. you know, I really believe in our concept. I think it's a very strong concept. So what I wanted to do in Portland was I wanted to establish ourselves all over the city so we could stop the people from copying us, pretty much.
Yeah.
Taking over market shares in the city that we wanted to, you know, we wanted to have.
Sure.
I don't know. You know, I get people who say that we're expanding too fast. I get people say that we're not expanding fast enough. You know, I think we're just fine. I think we're going at it perfectly, and I think, you know, the next step is franchising instead of trying to put corporate stores up and down the coast. So,
how cool is that? Great to have you on the show. Our guest has been Leo Rivera. He's the founder of Bishop's Barbershop. The website, www.bishopsbarbershop.com. Just like it sounds, B-I-S-H-O-P-S Barbershop. Thanks for joining us on the program, and continued success to you.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Small Biz Spotlight, up-close interviews with small business leaders and entrepreneurs across America. For more information about our guests or to subscribe, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.